Hey friends, thank you for joining Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm your host, Mary, and today joining us again for the second time is Shannon and Kara.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ladies. It's so wonderful to have you back.
Hello.
And Josh. I forgot Josh. And, you know, he doesn't want to be a wallflower, apparently. So, in last week's episode, we were talking about the importance of renewing our minds. And it was really good. So if you missed it, you want to go back and listen to that one and then pick up with part two. But I believe we ended it in Romans 12:9-21. I'll just read that real quick. And it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." That says a great deal right there on what we need to do and how we need to show love to one another. You know, I never would have thought being hospitable, you know, but he really does want us to be kind and open and welcoming to others.
For sure. And then rejoicing in hope. And I think being patient in tribulation.
Yeah.
James talks about that. And we need to find joy in that.
Right.
And but being constant prayer, that is huge.
And you know, there's a lot of people going through tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I receive a lot of prayer requests because people are really going through some things in their lives.
Yes.
And it's very important that we pray for those who've asked us to pray for them.
Yes.
It's required of us, but it's also comforting to those who we're praying for.
And they've asked and yes. They expect.
Yes, and God, it's an opening.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opening to someone who may not be saved to show we do care about you and your needs.
Yes.
I think it's important to note that those are not necessarily traits that come natural.
No.
The flesh doesn't want to do those things. That's why it's written in this word. It tells us the things that we need to do because they don't come natural to the flesh. And that's what we're talking about today is transformation.
Yes.
We're going to be transformed. We're going to be transformed by the word of God and into the image of God and who he says that's to look like.
Well, you know, that's very good that you brought that up because what we just read in Romans, you know, all of those attributes, so to speak, are going to seem really easy after we get through reading down in 14. Because to me, these things that are coming up were harder for me, I believe, in becoming a new Christian. You know, those were the hard things for me.
You can't do these things without
him. Not without him.
You cannot do these things without him.
That's right.
So verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you." Wow. "Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And my Bible labels that section as marks of a true Christian. And there isn't, just like Shannon said, there is no way any of those things can be done without God's guidance through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. And you look at those things, and those are the things the church is supposed to be providing. We're supposed to, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. You know,
right.
Whenever you see some of the things that are happening in the world today, you know that it's going to be the church.
Yes.
That's going to provide that love. That's going to provide that support. That's going to come in and help the needy.
Right.
You know? And so it requires God to be at the center of our minds and the center of our hearts. It is the marks of a true Christian.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Because our flesh has that mentality of, I'm going to get you before you get me.
Yeah, if you're persecuting me, my response is to be angry and to think that isn't okay and to lash out, but that's not what God said to do.
That's right.
And so if we're not in prayer, we're going to have those moments when we're going to snap back, and that's not the will of God.
That's right.
That's hard.
And then we have to repent. And then we feel the guilt of, if you're truly close to God, you're going to feel that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to feel that.
And the other thing that this makes me think about is when we are humbling ourselves with the Holy Spirit's guidance and doing these things, people notice.
Yes.
They see a different appearance.
Yes.
From us, with us, from other people. And
have you ever been around a spiritually mature Christian and you watch them be unbothered and be unrattled and you think,
how?
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want that. That's what the world sees when we're unrattled and unbothered, and they think, what is it? Why do they have that peace? Why are they not? Yeah. Why are they unbothered? And it makes people, that's what the world's looking for. It's what we're all looking for.
How can they find joy in that situation?
Yeah. Right.
Something that I found, and probably you've read, Corrie Ten Boom is a person that survived the Holocaust. And I found an excerpt about her forgiveness. And Corrie Ten Boom's story is about forgiveness and how amazing it was. And she was speaking in Munich, Germany, right after World War II in 1947. And I was thinking about that timeline. That wasn't very long after she had been released. And her speech was about forgiveness. And after she finished her speech, a guard that she recognized from the horrible place that she had been, Ravensbrück, approached her. And she recognized him, and he was the person that had been the person when the women first got there that had to undress and leave their clothes and shoes and walk completely naked by this guard. And after her speech, and there's probably many other things that were done at his hands as well. And after the speech, the man who had once been her guard came up to her and thrust his hand out and explained that he had become a Christian and asked if she could forgive him for what he had done to her at Ravensbrück. And she said that she wrestled in her heart with the most difficult thing she had ever had to do. And that really struck me. She had been in horrible, deplorable conditions, but yet this was
It's worth mentioning that her sister did not survive the Holocaust.
That's
her
true.
Sister, Betsy, who she loved, did not make it.
No.
Was killed.
Yes. And so she was really wrestling with this. And she remembered that forgiveness, I thought this was really good. She remembered that forgiveness is an act of the will, not the emotions. And she prayed for Jesus to help her. And she said, I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You, Jesus, must supply the feeling. And so she put her hand out into his outstretched hand, and she said an incredible thing took place. The current started in her shoulder and raced down her arm and sprang into their joined hands. And then a healing warmth seemed to flood her whole being, bringing tears to her eyes. And then she said, I forgive you, brother, with all of my heart. She said she had never known God's love so intensely than at that moment.
That's that peace that passes all understanding.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you're hearing it and you know that's it.
That's it.
It's you can't explain it.
No, you cannot.
I love their story as well. She and her sister Betsy I every now and then go back and just read The Hiding Place just to renew my perspective. God's word is the number one place we go, but you go and you read about the lives and times of some people and what they've endured and what they've gone through, and to be able to come out of that and still have faith in God, have forgiveness in their hearts, and never be bitter, never be angry. We need to be reminded.
We need to pray for that. That's, you know, and the rest of that, in that part where she talks about her and her sister Betsy praying for the fleas.
Mm-hmm. She said, "Thank God for the fleas."
Yeah.
"Thank God for the fleas, Corey." And she and you know, the fleas made it possible for them to have a Bible in their barracks, and the guards wouldn't come into their barracks because the fleas were so bad, and so they were able to have this Bible, and they were so appreciative
of that they had fleas
because it allowed them to have God's word.
Right. Right.
That's how valuable the word of God
that's
is.
That's how in tune to God they were, mm-hmm. because a lesser Christian would have only concentrated on the bites.
Right.
Yes.
Not the
opportunity. Well, she said herself, she said, "I thought that's going too far."
Right.
You know, but her sister was such a strong Christian. And
yes,
as I said, she didn't survive it. But yet we hear her testimony, even though she didn't live through it. We hear her testimony.
Oh, yeah.
She trusted in God. She thanked God through everything.
Yes. And being able to forgive and not retaliate in that circumstance in a time when that was so degrading to her is absolute amazing.
But, you know, we have to remember that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
No, we are not.
That was a flesh and blood man who did that, but the spirit behind it
was not.
The evil behind it.
Right.
That is Satan.
You know, that was not a mistake that he was there that day.
Right.
That was God's plan.
Yeah.
Because.
And that's how we can forgive people, is to know that our battle isn't with them.
Well, and you know, I feel like she felt like she had forgiven. Like, she felt like she was walking in the Spirit and that mm-hmm. she had forgiven. And God showed her, "Hey, you have a little something in here that I need you to release." And when all she had to do was reach her hand out and say, "I forgive you, brother." And the Holy Spirit took hold of her.
And did the work.
He did the work. Yes. Praise God. Yes. That's so good.
So some of the things that, if we are going to work on renewing our minds, some ideas are God's Word and the Holy Spirit versus our life experiences. And we can get tied up in interpreting life, looking at life through the things that have happened to us, our experiences. There's a lot of woundedness and trauma in our world, our preferences, or the opinion of others. And we need to not look at our situations and the things going on around us and respond with that response. We need to respond with the Holy Spirit's guidance, with God's Word, and choose His good, perfect, acceptable will, because it's futile to remain in our own thoughts.
Well, we do try to rely on our own thoughts, and that's where we fall, because we think that we have enough strength, that we have enough power, and we fool ourselves, because our power comes from the Holy Spirit.
And our thoughts are so jaded.
Yes.
So jaded with the things that happen to us mm-hmm. that can change the course and be so dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
And
We kind of lie to ourselves.
Yes.
Yes.
That book that you loaned me, Mary, Like a Mighty Wind.
Yes.
He said, Jesus said to me, "Don't ever use your experience as a standard."
Right.
The Bible is our standard.
Right.
And if we look at life from the lens of our experience,
right,
well, we miss the mark, because the Bible is the standard.
Yes. I thought that was great. I have not read that book, but I liked that quote.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. It is a really good book, and it... You know, the things, he was a missionary, and as a missionary, you know, it's not always comfortable. You know, we think of travel as we're going to get a good hotel, and, you know, we're going to have room service, and that is not being a missionary.
You know, he was a missionary to the United States. He came to the United States from, was it Indonesia?
Yes.
And he said, "I thought... I'm going where they have In God We Trust on their money. They're all Christians there."
Right.
And he said, "And then I got there."
Right.
And found out that it was on their money, but it wasn't the reality.
It's
sadly. Mm-hmm.
The book is called Like a Mighty Wind by Mel Torrey. And it was written a long time ago.
Yeah, the 70s.
Yes, yeah. But it's still, just like the Word of God was written, you know, thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
It's still prevalent. It's still, you know, we still have missionaries out there going through the same things, and God is changing and transforming their minds because they are the stayed upon the Lord.
Yes. So the first thing is check your attitude. Make sure that your lens that you are focusing through is God's Word.
Amen.
And not your own experiences. And the second thing is a kingdom perspective. And this is fundamental, that we shift our focus towards seeing the world, ourselves, others, and God from a kingdom perspective. And a kingdom perspective is a way of seeing the world through the eyes of God and living our lives in accordance to His will. And to have faith that He's in control and He's taking care of everything, even whenever our eyes cannot see that.
And, you know, that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. And you know, blessed is he who has not seen and yet believes.
Yes.
And that's exactly what our kingdom perspective is, because we haven't physically seen or touched the kingdom.
But he tells us what it looks like.
Yes. And we know it's there.
Mm-hmm. And then we have to take those thoughts captive.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's the number one thing for me, you know? That's what our minds do. Our minds, that you get to listen into the narrative inside your head,
mm-hmm.
the things that you think, the way you feel.
Yes.
What you're bothered by, for, you know, you've made it bigger than it is. And we have to learn to take those thoughts captive. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ."
That's good.
Literally snatching that thought,
mm-hmm.
and taking it captive.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what the Word of God says. If that's not what the Word of God says, then I'm not going to think on it.
Well, and he never says, Mary, go with your feelings.
No.
Never. Never.
Nope. No.
And our inner monologue wants us to do that.
Oh, yeah. My right. mind wants me to go, yes. Lord, just turn me loose. Just turn yes. me loose.
But we have to ask, does yes. this agree? Does this agree with what
mm-hmm.
God says? Does this line up with God's
yes.
word and his promises over my life? If not, I've got to capture that thought.
Amen.
And make my mind obey Christ. Make my thoughts obey Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have to replace those thoughts with the promises of God. We can't just, oh, I'm not going to think about that. No, you got to replace that thought with the truth.
Yeah. Right.
What did God say? And tell yourself the promises of God.
Yeah.
Which also adds to the renewing of our mind, because we have to find that. We have to, I have to physically go find
what God's word what
says. Promise God is giving me for that situation. And so that's a whole nother process of renewal of my mind.
And talk about an exciting hunt.
Whenever
you find those promises in God's word,
oh,
and
yeah.
you said, look what he has for me.
Yes.
Right. And it's that does change your whole thought process.
But
you think, he wants better than that for me. He wants,
exactly.
He has good things for me.
Well, something that you said, you know, you go find.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do, is we have to go find what he said
mm-hmm.
about everything.
Yes.
And that's where we find those goodies, those nuggets mm-hmm. of promises that we didn't even know that he promised us.
Right.
That's the fun.
We think sometimes we don't have time. I don't have time to remember. You don't have time not to, because you need it so much. I need it so much.
Yes.
I'm talking about myself.
All
I need
us.
It so much. If I don't spend time in God's word, well, my thoughts will take me way off course.
Absolutely.
Right. For sure. Number 4 says that beliefs fueled by God. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. So we're renewing our thoughts, and that results in new beliefs that help us seek and turn to God and his plan for our lives.
You know, I've heard it said that you will believe yourself over everybody else.
Right.
You'll believe yourself. So whatever you're telling yourself, you're going to eventually believe it.
Right.
But if you're reading God's word and that's what you're thoughts are about, you're going to believe it.
Right.
And so, yes, renewing our thoughts renews our beliefs. What we think about is what we're going to take as truth and believe.
And what we're going to use.
Yes.
It's a useful thing, and
it's a tool
mm-hmm. and it can completely change the course of what our mind was thinking, which changes the course of what we're doing. And that's the last one, our physical life. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. And eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. And so when we go through these processes and we renew our life and we seek to know God's promises, that's going to change our minds, and it changes us physically, because when we have renewed minds with God, new beliefs are created in us that result in new actions and boundaries in our life.
You know, that's really good, because, you know, I live in the town that I grew up in, as I think both of you ladies pretty much do too. And so sometimes, you know, it's hard for people who you grew up with to be like, wow, is that really you? You know, because in my youth, I would have handled a situation, I would have said something or done something that is not does not line up with the Word of God. But now I try to always say, Lord, how do I handle this? What do you want me to do? How do I deal with it? And that's growth. That's growth. And that's how we renew our mind, is spiritual growth and wisdom.
Yes, very much. I think that's so interesting that it changes us physically.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Yeah. Ephesians 4:1 tells us that even if we're going to live a life worthy to be called a Christian at all,
yeah,
we're going to have to renew our minds. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. If we're going to carry his name around,
right,
then we have to come into alignment with who he says we're to be. In verses 2 and 3, it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, to be humble and gentle and patient and full of love kind of goes against nature of the carnal mind. And in order to live in unity as the church, because we're all a part of the same body, and if we're going to come into unity, then we each have to have our minds renewed so that the church builds itself up into the body of Christ that we're supposed to be. We're not worthy of the calling if we don't keep our minds constantly in alignment with his word.
Yes. Yes. We have to line up, what does it say? Line upon line and precept upon precept.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are some things that are even hard for the mature Christian.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting how the devil, if we allow it, makes our lives so busy?
Oh, yeah.
Just distracting us in the least way can completely take our mind off God's word. And so we have to really work to make sure that we're doing those things to stay in his word so we're renewed.
Right.
Becoming mature. You know, whenever you're a kid, Mary was talking about, if your classmates would recognize you now, you know, whenever you're a kid, you're a child, you lack self-control and you demand your own way and you fight with your brothers and sisters, right?
Right.
And then you're taught better and you grow up. And that's what God's word does for it. It teaches us better. It provides us the standard to live by so that we live that life worthy of carrying Christ's name. We grow up, we mature into the Christians that we're supposed to be.
Oh, yes.
My Bible titles this next group of scriptures as living as children of light. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're supposed to be.
That's
children
right.
of light. And it says in 17 and 18, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We've heard several times as we've been going over this, talking about the futility of the mind.
Right.
How it's futile, to think as the world thinks. It's a darkened understanding, blindness. It says here ignorance, separation from the life of God. which is scary, right? Yes. Separation from God.
Yes, very.
It's futile to live like the world.
Makes me think of a constant fight and battle.
Right, and that's what people are going through.
And
right.
I remember when we had an ice storm that, and we our electric was off for a long time, like a week. And Yale was totally dark for a week. And that was oppressive.
I remember that.
And you come into town, if you could make it into town, and it was just dark. Mm-hmm. And that is such an oppressive feeling. So to be children of light,
right.
we're taking that oppression away through God, right. through the Holy Spirit.
Wow. That's really good. Yeah. I didn't really think about it like that before, but that's true.
You know, it goes on to say, and we talked about, we read in Romans last time, we were talking about conforming to the mm-hmm. world. This sounds a whole lot like it. In verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what we're living amongst.
Yes, right. we are.
And that's why we have to be transformed. We can't right. let that rub off on us.
And I keep thinking the greediness factor. We live in a world that's so full of greed.
Yes.
And God says that his wrath, you know, we need to leave the desire to get even, that his wrath is what is going to happen.
Right.
And I think about these people who are living without him and the greediness, and I think, oh my gosh, God's wrath against that. That's going right. to be.
Yeah, he said, that's not what you've learned in Christ. Mm-mm. It goes on to say, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created mm-hmm. according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And we are the righteousness of God.
We are.
He told us that we're to be holy because he's holy.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. those are the things we're supposed to be trying to attain to. And that's what we got to line up with.
Yes. And, well, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 goes right along with what you were saying.
I just said that, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, our calling in life is to learn more about him and become closer to him. Because as all of the years of our living, in my thought, is, you know, we're living to die in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, that is it, that is, doesn't make any sense to the carnal mind. But our spiritual mind knows exactly what that means.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll receive our reward one of these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stand before him.
Very much yeah. so.
If we could see ourselves the way that he sees us,
yes.
though. If we desire to be right with him, we desire to be the righteousness of God. You know, it says in Romans 11:16, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, we are the branches.
Right.
He's the vine and we're the branches. And we can reflect him in this
yes.
dark world.
Yes, as we're supposed to.
Yes, and it's sometimes hard for us to see ourselves that way. So it's good to be reminded by God's word. You know, confess and meditate on what God says about you mm-hmm. so that you begin to see yourself, myself, the way that he sees us.
Right.
The scriptures renew our minds.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, and they transform us.
Very much so.
We are not the same, the creatures that we started out.
No.
And isn't it wonderful to have God's word to do that so we do not have to
yes.
be the creatures we started out as?
Well, and I like to look at it as how many people God has brought into my life and placed into my life that were not there before, but until I reached out to him and I trusted and leaned on him, he has now put these wonderful people in my life that are my you're my family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes, very
Me
much
too.
So.
Because yes. we all have that same mind. We have the same mind of Christ.
That's right. We're a part of the same body.
Yes. That's right.
Yes,
that's
members right. of the same body.
Well, this has been really good, ladies. This is, you know, I love that we can come together in agreement in God's word. Because when you're truly studying and believing, you know, it's not an argument.
No.
It's just sharing God's love with one another and helping one another to renew our minds,
yeah.
that we would be closer to God.
And talking to Him in prayer.
Yes.
You know, how important that is.
Oh, absolutely.
To stay in constant communication with Him.
Yes. He says, pray without ceasing.
Yes.
Well, we would like to thank you for joining us, and we'd like to thank our audience for waiting patiently for us to get our new season kicked off. And I know this is our part two of that season, and we're very thankful and excited. We're excited about our new season. Right now, I'd like to ask, Carol, would you like to lead us in our closing prayer tonight?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we've had together to learn more about you, to learn that you are right there with us, your Holy Spirit is guiding us. And Lord, we just ask that the people who are listening to this podcast can gain something, that little seed of you that they need to know. We just thank you for this time, and I thank you for everyone that's here, and just take care of us as we move forward, renewing our minds in you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, just get in the Word of God and continue to renew your minds. That would be the best advice that I could give you to go along with our podcast. So we thank you for joining us today. If you haven't subscribed to the Messiah's Misfits podcast, make sure to do that so you don't miss an episode. Make sure to leave us a review so others can find our podcasts.